Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where we give you, the investor, an inside view on some of the best and brightest small cap companies operating in the public markets today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I'm talking to Alex Klemman, President and CEO of Nexus Gold, which trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol NXS. Nexus Gold has a portfolio of active projects in West Africa and Canada. Gold prices are surging. Nexus has news today out of Newfoundland. And today we're going to find out about the master plan to advance these gold assets. Alex Klemman, welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look.
Many thanks for having me, Guy. I'm happy to be here.
My pleasure. Alex, can you start out by giving me a bit of a bird's eye view of Nexus Gold?
Yeah, you summed it up quite easily right there. We are a developer explorer. We're active on two continents. We really have built a nice portfolio in West Africa and Burkina Faso, to be exact, which is, you know, a small, prolifically entrenched gold producing company, country, pardon me.
Yeah.
And now we've expanded into Canada for a number of reasons. West Africa has challenges that come with it. And in order to increase our exposure and maybe open us up to a wider audience, we decided to begin to acquire and work some Canadian assets as well. So we're firmly entrenched in both West Africa and Canada, and like the way we set up heading into what we think is going to be a nice, strong gold market.
Yeah. I'd like to start talking about Burkina Faso. When I started following you and tracking you and writing about you, mm-hmm. I believe that mm-hmm. you were almost solely operating there. And I remember the more I learned about Nexus, I could not figure out why is this not a $300 million company? I mean, these are not little, highly speculative projects. Maybe our listeners don't know as much about Burkina Faso as I do. So I'd like to get, well, let's put it this way. If you Google Burkina Faso, you're going to find out about some problems there. I'm interested in how they affect you, A, operationally, and B, how they've been affecting your stock price. Is there a gap there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. It hasn't affected our operations.
Yeah.
We're in central Burkina.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more of a perception problem than anything. And yeah. I see that might be the disconnect in the share price that you speak of. Environment there is, it's a great place for a junior to operate. First of all, you have to have local knowledge. We have a great local crew.
Yeah.
Our senior geologist and vice president of exploration is a man named Warren Robb. And Warren spent many years with Rox Gold, was the chief geologist there when they made their Yaramoko discovery, which is extremely high grade. It's now mine. And so we have the right people on the ground. And that was sort of eased our way into Burkina, if you will. Where a junior of our ilk can find, make a large discovery, acquire large land packages, you're not going to find too many places on the planet left that you can do that. So Burkina gives us that opportunity. And we're comfortable working there, but there are perception issues. You know, there are problems in Mali next door and Niger next door. But, you know, West Africa is not immune from these types of things now. So I think that has an effect. You know, when you talk to a European investor, they have a much more, there's less barrier to entry for them in West Africa. They have a longer history on the continent, and they're not quite as adverse to it as a North American investor.
Yeah. But let's, Alex,
so we're okay with that.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. Let's drill down into this a bit, because I think it's better to get it on the table. The issues aren't just perception. I believe they're an Al Qaeda affiliated group. Not a lot of people. I think 300 or 400 people running around in Jeeps. And there have been some, I guess, terrorist attacks in Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. My understanding, I track, for instance, Endeavor Gold, doesn't seem to have affected their gold
yep.
production. You're telling me it hasn't affected you operationally, but what is your assessment? I do track that country. You obviously know much more about it than I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting my intel from the guys on the ground, our crew and Warren. There's no secret. There's certainly terrorist activity in West Africa, more so in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we're talking about a country the size of Colorado. The majority of the incidents occur along the eastern border and the northern border. In fact, the northeastern border isn't an actual border at all. It's just simply frontier. So these groups can hit and run. They can come into Burkina rather easily. The government's doing what it can to head a lot of this off, and they've been successful. But look, to be able to get access to what, you know, to large, potentially large deposits that are still there, there's some risk involved. That's just that simple. So, again, you mentioned Endeavor and some other large companies are operating there. We intend to stay there to try to delineate something of size and then see if one of those major companies might have an interest in what we've done.
Exactly. Will you be drilling any of the Burkina Faso assets this year?
Yeah, that's our plan. Yeah. Right now we're in the rainy season. June, July, August, and into September is the rainy season. We've drilled in the rainy season the last couple of years, but it does tend to up costs. You run into obviously a lot of water. Rainy season there makes Vancouver look like Palm Springs. So we have to make sure that, you know, we don't incur too many extra costs with water pumps and having, you know, down days where the crew stands around and does nothing. There's also health concerns in the wet season. I mean, you've got malaria and other issues. We've lost man hours to that in the past. So this year we've decided not to do any work in Burkina in the wet season. We're looking at doing an RC drill program in the fall. We're just looking at budgets now and trying to determine the best places to go. We have a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, you do.
So we have our choices to where we want to go, but we do plan on doing something in the fall.
In Boubalou?
Yeah, we were looking at Boubalou Rukunga, which is really our flagship property. It's the most advanced property of the group there. But we also have the Dakouli project, which is our newest acquisition. Yeah. And Dakouli is 100% owned by Nexus. We have a 9-year mining lease. So, and we really like the early sampling that we've done there. There's visible nuggety visible gold samples, which you don't necessarily always find over there. And it's contiguous to our Nianguela project, which in the past has yielded some very high grade results. So we like what we're seeing at Dakouli. That's sort of the internal battle now. Do we go to Boubalou? Do we go to Dakouli? Do we split a drill program between the two? Yeah. That's likely the route we'll take, but that's where we're at the moment.
Do you have any artisanal miners, like mom and pop miners, on any of your West Africa properties?
All of them. Yes, all of them.
Yeah.
And what's great about that is it really is an incredibly effective way to hone in on mineralized zones. Where there's active ore pyres or artisanal miners, you're going to obviously have mineralization. The deeper they go, the more complex and developed the structures are, the greater chance you're going to run into something of size. So we have good relationships with the villagers who work our properties. They don't have much of an overall effect in terms of being able to pull too much out of the ground where it really affects future resource estimates. But it's nice to know they tell us where the zones are, and they have a lot of local knowledge. I mean, they're going down by hand. They come up. We can glean a lot of information from the pyres or the artisanal mines.
Interesting. So you don't chase them off?
Oh, no. In fact, it's just the opposite. We don't necessarily roll out a red carpet and welcome them, but let me give you an example. The Boubalou property was once called Bisa West by Rocks Gold when they had the property. It's now Boubalou because we renamed it for the village that's attached to it. And, you know, it's almost like a local security force in some way. We hire villagers when we do work programs, when they're working as artisanal miners. You know, other groups aren't going to come in en masse to work the project because it's basically staked by the locals. So that helps us in a lot of ways. And, you know, we want to have a symbiotic relationship with the locals. We don't want to be a company coming in and just kicking everybody off. And we need harmony. We need to work with the locals and work with the country. We're guests there. Yep. I think it's important that we respect local customs and their rights as well.
Right. Well, I'm going to advise Equity Guru listeners to go to the Nexus Gold website and look at these African assets. I think they will be quite stunned at what is there. Let's move on to Canada now. And since you've got news out today from Newfoundland, let's start there.
Yeah, we recently made a foray into Newfoundland with a a project acquisition very recently called the GB Copper Gold Project. It's actually called Gummy Bear, but yeah. I can't really bring myself to call it Gummy Bear, so we're calling it GB. We like the area. There's been a lot of regional success in Newfoundland and the Maritimes in the last few months, within the last year. So one of the things, we recognized that gold was on a down cycle, and I think it's a great idea to pick up properties on the low.
Yeah.
If gold shoots into the 1500s and higher, and we have an astronomical market in our midst, then we'll get credit for these projects. We don't intend to work every single project simultaneously.
Yeah.
And we also expect to find partners to work these projects with us over time. But Newfoundland, we like it. It's a great place to work. The provincial government is eager to have explorers in and working, and the locals there, the people there are fantastic. We have some really knowledgeable local prospectors working with us and geologists. So the recent today's announcement was two projects. We're up around 3,300 hectares now of prospective ground. Yeah, good size land package. Very economic to keep. And we've got high grade copper, gold, and even some silver on some of these projects. So we intend to work them and utilize what they bring to our inventory.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
What's Newfoundland like as a jurisdiction, as a mining jurisdiction?
Exceptionally good. As I mentioned, the provincial government wants exploration dollars. They want to develop the area as an exploration destination. And it's already proving, I mean, the Great Atlantic was bought out. There's other companies that have had success in the last year there. So we like it. We think we're almost a little bit of, you know, other people were first movers, but we're certainly ahead of the curve. A couple of more discoveries and a couple of more buyouts or what have you in that area there'll be a staking rush, and there'll be a rush of companies, I think, to work there. It's Eastern Canada. There's, you know, you can always use flow through dollars to explore.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of upside there. I mean, look, jurisdictionally, for us to have our feet both in West Africa and Canada, I think is extremely important. People have to understand if West Africa, and I don't anticipate it turning into, some sort of crazy situation, but if it does, Nexus is appropriately exposed in Canada that we can absorb, you know, interruptions or disruptions with our activities in West Africa.
Was that part or all of the strategic thinking behind expanding out of Africa into Canada to sort of de-risk being too much of a pure play in a country with volatile political climate?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, I mean, I love simple analogies. In my mind, if you have one car in the driveway and you have to leave and that car doesn't start, you got a problem. So I think it's important that you have have your feet in multiple jurisdictions, and it does, it de-risks one or the other. And I think it's important to, you know, shareholders want to know that you have, and also, I mean, look, we're in Red Lake, which has got a lot of attention, obviously, through Great Bear and others in recent times. And so these are great areas to be in. It's our backyard. We're a Canadian-based company. We felt we had an obligation to begin to see what we could do with Canadian assets as well. But yes, to make a long answer shorter, there was some de-risk and some hedging involved with the decision to move into Canada, but also just gives us more projects to work. We'd like to become a little bit of a project generator as well. I think that's a good business model.
Yeah.
And I think just adding assets and growing our portfolio base, at some point, we will get credit for that.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about your other Canadian assets.
Mm-hmm. Well, the BC property is called New Pilot. It was a property that our geologist Warren Robb actually worked in the 90s for Kojima, did a little bit of work, 43-101, and he basically had it in his back pocket for two decades. And I said, you know, we had the discussions about expanding into Canada. He said, well, I've got a project right here in BC that has had several hundred gram samples done on it, and it's relatively close, and we could cut a very simple deal. So we did. That's number one. It's in the Brainhorn Camp, which has a long history of high grade production.
Yes.
So we're happy, and some recent work in the area by a company called Blackstone Minerals out of Australia, where they've had some very high grade gold and some high grade cobalt, as a matter of fact, in the area. So we're sort of the land package that's left between what is controlled around us by Blackstone. And then the other project is the Mackenzie Gold Project in Red Lake, which is encompasses Mackenzie Island, a good chunk of Mackenzie Island in the heart of Red Lake itself, and a large chunk of the actual lake itself is ours. There's been several bonanza grade samples historically and even recently in 2017 pulled on the island and in the area. And I mean, we're talking 200-300 gram samples. So we're, you know, obviously it's a great area to be. We've got 1,300 hectares there that's ours. It's 100% ours. We own the whole thing. And we're on the ground right there. As a matter of fact, we're conducting a prospecting program now to confirm some of the historical work and some of the showings. And we're on a data mission. We're gonna acquire and bank as much data over the summer as we can to prep for what we hope is a drill program before too long. Look, there's high-grade opportunities at Red Lake. And we think we're onto something at Mackenzie, and we'll see if that bears true. But we're happy to be there. And I think there's going to be some news coming soon, I think within about a week, about some of the recent work we've done there. And I'm optimistic.
Let's talk about your share price and your share structure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, share structure is always a great topic. You know, I mean, if you have 20 million shares out, you're not going to have the liquidity to satisfy some investors or a lot of investors. If you have too many shares out, well, they say it works against you. I look at some of these cannabis companies, I see 300-500 million shares out. I look at some of the energy stocks that are out there with, you know, half a billion shares out. You know, I think it's a hard balance to strike. Unfortunately, we're explorers in the way that we fund what we do is through equity dilution.
Right.
There's no perfect way to go. That's why I'd like to introduce a little bit of a project generation business model to Nexus. I think it will allow us to maybe glean some dollars from partners that help us in you know, the day-to-day costs of running a business. But I think long-term, I'm not too concerned about structure. I think, you know, we've got 60 or 64 million shares out. You know, if we're under 100 million in a hot market, it's not going to hurt us, especially on discovery or something of merit in terms of a compliant resource or again, discovery or the almighty, you know, drill hole that can propel a company. So we're going to be fine, I think. But more importantly, you know, I think we've been hurt a lot recently in just by, you know, the gold market. Right. Yep. Now we've got some free trading paper coming into the market from the financing we did in February. I think that's affected our price recently. But again, I used to be someone who would stress on a day-to-day basis on that share price. And I'm not doing it as much as I used to because I trust the long-term process. I mean, we're building value. We've set the company up well for success. We're looking for a game changer acquisition as much as we're working our properties. So we're going to do what we can, and we're going to see if we can get this back to an evaluation that I think is realistic. And a lot of it has to do with the market. If the market believes in what you're doing and you represent well, then I think we'll get there.
Well, I mean, if gold, your stock's been on the move recently, and so is the spot price of gold, and those things are probably, mm-hmm. those two events are probably connected. I mean, if gold gets going, as I and many people believe it has to, mm-hmm. you would be obviously a prime candidate for a big
Well, I think we're undervalued,
move.
But of course,
yeah, so do I.
I think we're undervalued, but I don't think you're going to find a CEO in this business who doesn't think they're undervalued.
That's
so
also correct.
A grain of salt, but yeah, but I also think there's some, you know, there's it's. I get calls from people who say, why is the stock down? You know, and they're almost attributing the blame entirely to say myself, for example. And I kind of giggle at that now. And I say, listen, I'm not the one selling shares. I think shareholders are also involved in that price dynamic by their actions. They buy, the price goes up. They sell, the price goes down. It is what it is. You just have to stay focused. We have a market now that is dominated by shorter attention spans. So the line between trader and investor has been completely obliterated.
Yeah.
So people who are traders think they're investors, and they come in and they invest in quotation marks into a company when they're actually buying for a trade. And we see a lot of trading activity. Nexus is quite liquid. If we do the work and we bring the company forward, what used to be a reasonable timeline, say a year or two or even three, is well within our sights. It's the guys. I've had people call me and say, hey, I bought 200,000 shares last week. Why hasn't the price moved? I'm like, last week? Yeah, last week. So that's really a bit of what we're dealing with in the markets now. And that's unfortunate, but that's okay. These are things we can't control. So what can we control? We're going to try to get that drill hole that'll make a game changer, or make that acquisition that'll make a game changer out of where we're sitting.
Yeah. Or just if things, my opinion is the U.S. is basically burning the furniture to keep warm. I mean, over $1 trillion deficit every year. I mean, that just, if you've ever tried living off your credit cards, and I did it once, it does not end well.
Yeah.
It does not well.
No, and the price manipulations on a global scale for gold is just shocking. They can't keep a cork. You can't keep a cork underwater. Eventually, if all of the things we see, and you mentioned one of them, continue to come to the forefront, then we're going to have these spikes. And many people are calling for much higher prices. Even though I'm so happy to see, $1380, $1390, and even $1400, which we were briefly at overnight. I think we have a long way to go. Some other very smart people are saying even, $1500, $1600 in the short term here. So we'll see, but we're just going to get the work done. We're going to be cautious and aggressive at the same time. We want to push things forward. We want news flow. We want to let people know we're actually, no one's sitting around twiddling their thumbs.
Yep.
But at the same time, exploration dollars are very hard to come by. Yep. And we want to make sure that, we're cognizant of that as well.
Alex, thank you so much for your time. I think that's been a really good overview. I'm looking forward to continuing to tell your story. We have a mining expert at Equity Guru, Greg Nolan, who does a lot of the coverage, but I want to get back into it too. I really like this company. I think it has an enormous upside.
That's fantastic. Appreciate it, Guy. And I'm available if anybody has questions. Just shoot me an email at info@nexusgoldcorp.com and I'll reply personally as quickly as possible.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.